So I'm so glad that Bob was able to do our Torah teaching, because he is really, what he spoke of is really complimenting my message this morning. And as I have this opportunity to say so often, whatever the person that's up here is doing the Torah teaching, even though we never discuss what we're going to be speaking about, the Lord has this wonderful way of putting them together so many times. And we know that it's the Lord. So in other words, God wants you to hear something, and something special, each Shabbat morning, and so he puts them together. So this morning, I'm starting out with a word. We all know the word. It's probably the first word we learn in Hebrew. It's a word that even people that don't know Hebrew know. It's the word shalom. It's one of those unique Hebrew words that has different meanings. But when you put them all together, the different meanings of shalom, as there are other Hebrew words, because it's such a wonderful language, because it is God's language, that he has this unique way when you have a Hebrew word and it has a few different meanings, when you step back and look at the different meanings, you get a whole picture. A complete picture, and you get a deeper meaning of what it really means. I don't think it's really true with most languages, like in Hebrew. So let's put up our first slide. I know this is Hebrew 101, but this is something that I wanted to just talk about for a minute as I get into my message. The word is shalom. So it is made up of three Hebrew letters, Shin, Lamed, Mem. As most of you know, that most Hebrew words are made up of root words, and in most cases, the root words are three consonants, three Hebrew consonants, and then those words, the different words, come from the root word. And I don't know if there's any other language that does it the same way. But we have shalom from these. Now, of course, there's the vav in here, but it's a vowel, considered a vowel, not a consonant. So we have the three consonants, shin, lamed, mem, which make up shalom. So, shalom, it's a greeting. We say hello, we say goodbye, it means peace. These are the things that we say to people. But we have mushlam, perfect. Shalem means whole or complete. And shula, which means, and it's strange, it means paid for. So when we look at all those, we get more of a complete meaning of the root word, the root from shin, lamed, mem, which really is the root for the word shalom and for all these other words. So we say shalom, and this is why I decided to talk about this morning. Because we're saying shalom to 2018. We're saying goodbye. But we're saying shalom to 2019. We're saying hello. And we do wish peace for 2019. And we wish completeness and wholeness for 2019. 2018 is over in 2 days, and in 3 days, it's 2019. And so there have been a lot of chaos that we've had over 2018. There's been a lot of chaos going on in our country and around the world, a lot of chaos going on. And so there's been a lot of separation. There's been a lot of brokenness. There's been a lot of fragmentation going on all around the world. That's what 2018 has been about here. These are all things that are opposite of completeness and wholeness and togetherness. All the things that we have experienced this year are exactly the opposite of shalom. It's been chaos. And so really, we have these two opposite things going on. May we see 2019 turn around and be what maybe 2018, what might not have really been that we had hoped for, not just in our country, but around the world. May we really pray for a true shalom, shalom, a complete shalom in 2019. So God wants to take chaos and turn it into peace. That's what God wants. God can take chaos and turn it into peace. Not that he wants it, but he can do it. Turn chaos into peace. So let's go all the way back to the beginning. Let's go to Bereshit. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit, the Ruach of God, was hovering over the face of the earth. And so these are our opening words that when we read the Bible or when we open the Torah. So even in the beginning, we see this picture of chaos that's going on. And the chaos is there is darkness and there isn't form and there is void. And when there's darkness, there is chaos. And so what do we see here? It says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth. And then the next thing we see is that God spoke and God created. And so we know that God's Ruach starts its job beginning to bring order into a world of chaos. God wants to, and God can take chaos and turn it into peace, completeness, and order. And as he creates, and as he gives specific purposes to the elements and to the creatures and even to man, he said, and we read it, we're not even going to go to it this morning, but we read, every time he creates something, whether it's the elements or the creatures, the animals or man, he says, what does he say at the end of every line that we read? And he created such and such or so and so. He says, and yeah, it was very good. Not just good, but it was very good. So these are all the things that were created. He says they are good. And here's why. Because as God, initially with his Ruach, and then he is created with his word, he is creating all these things. He is saying, purpose is good. Direction is good. Function is good. The cycle of night and day is good. The cycle of the seasons is good. These are all good things. And these are all things that God was doing to bring everything together in a completeness, with order, with cycles, with things that would work properly. And as he creates them, he says they are good. Because he knows that they are good. Because he knows he is now taking chaos and he is turning it into something that is not chaos. And so this might be one of the reasons he said he is good. It's good. These are good. These are very good. Of course, there are other reasons he said they're very good. But these are very good because the abolishment of chaos is good. And this is a continuing theme throughout the Bible. Chaos, good. Chaos, good. Chaos in men, sin in men. We do things, our lives aren't together. He does things and he brings things and he brings people into our lives that try to bring completeness and order into our lives and function in our lives and cycles in our lives. He does these things. So this is a theme that's running throughout the Bible. And so even in a non-scriptural way, or a natural or personal way in our lives, we seek order. And I'm not talking about doing it as far as our beliefs of religion or our beliefs in God. Just in our everyday lives, we seek order because it is a natural thing. We seek wholeness. And even if we don't sometimes think we do, we do seek these things in our lives because it is a natural thing. Because when God created you, and he created Adam, and he created Eve, he said, it is good, because he wanted those two that he created to have something that was the opposite of chaos. And so there's something inside of us. Now, we talk about how, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we have sin, we're born into sin, we have that. But at the same time, there's that little spark of God in us, and God is in us, and we're made in his likeness. And so there is this desire in us to know God and to have order and chaos in our lives. There is this desire, but many times there's this battle going on inside of our lives. But we do seek order and we do seek wholeness. So let me ask you, how many of you want to live in 10 different houses in the next 10 years? Some of you have done that. I know some of you in the military, it seems like you've lived in 10 different places in 10 years. Not quite, but how many of you would like to have to move every 6 months or every year? Move into a new place? No fun. How many of you would like to have a job, 10 different jobs in 5 years? How many of you would like to have a job, lose your job, get another job, lose your job, get another job? How many of you would like to do that in a 10-year period? Of course not. Why? Because we want order. We don't want chaos like that in our lives because there's something inside of us that wants it. How many of you want steady friends, faithful friends? Who wants to have a friend one day and an enemy the next and another new friend the next day and they're an enemy the next? No one wants that. We want steady friends. We want faithful spouses. We want order and we want wholeness in our lives. And we don't want those other things. So even if you don't realize it, if you look at your life, you realize you don't want chaos. And sometimes we're in chaos. And it doesn't mean that we like it. Sometimes we get used to it and we say, well, that's the way it is. It is what it is. We can't do anything else. But the reality is we sure do wish we didn't have that chaos in our lives. And so every new year, and it is a tradition, and we're already seeing this tradition happening. If you just put on your TV, because every year we make resolutions. We all, well, maybe in the beginning of the year, it's a new year, and you know, I have it on the sign out there, 2019, a new year, you. And we all would hope that it is a new and a better us next year. And I hope we all have a better us for next year. So we do these things and we make resolutions for every year to better ourselves. But if you notice, and this is what we started seeing, you look on TV, you start seeing all the diet plans and programs on TV already, right? You know why? Because probably top on the list, if we were to order the top things that people make resolutions about for the new year, right up on top is gonna lose weight and get in shape, or lose weight or get in shape. Thank God I don't need to do that. But I can relate to some of you people. See? So some of you out there want to lose some weight, and I understand that. But here's what happens. No matter how many commercials you are going to see now and in over the next few weeks, you're going to see 10 times as many in February and March. You know why? People didn't do it. They didn't stick to it. And then the companies go, okay, here's my opportunity to get people to say, gee, maybe I need a little help. Maybe I need a little more help. That program didn't help me. Maybe this one will. So for every one commercial on losing weight and getting in shape, you're going to see in the next few weeks, trust me, you're going to see 10 times as many come February, even into March. Mark my words. Rabbi Allen the prophet. So let's look at God's word with just a couple of scriptures this morning. We could spend so much time, but we'll look at a couple of scriptures concerning order and peace, inner peace, and shalom. And we're going to look at these things for our hearts and for our minds as we're getting ready to end the year. And so let's start with Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So this is really a promise from the Word of God. If we trust in the Lord, he is going to keep us, it says, in perfect, complete shalom. If we trust in the Lord. But we need to trust in the Lord. But he promises if we trust in him, he's going to do that for us. Oh, there may be mountains and hills and valleys and back and forth and wavering. It may be good and bad. It doesn't mean it's going to be smooth every single day. But if we step back and look at our lives, we're going to see that God has really taken over and he has created a good order in our lives, and a lot of the craziness and chaos is gone. It just disappears. It takes care of itself. God allows us to take care of some of it, and he does some of it on a spiritual level. But it says those who trust in the Lord are going to experience these things. 1 Corinthians, we'll go into the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. This is Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 14:33. And he writes to the Corinthians, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all the assemblies of the believers. He is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of chaos. He is a God of order. And sometimes we can super spiritualize it and say, it's the devil that's making my life like this. No, you know what? The truth is, a lot of it, it's you that's making your life like that. Don't blame it on the devil. Maybe connect with God a little more and put your trust in the Lord and say, what would God want me to do? And then maybe you'll get in line with God, the God of peace and order. But it says, he is not the author of chaos. But he is the author of shalom, of peace and wholeness and wellness and order. And it says, as in all the assemblies of believers. God, that's the God that we believe in. That's the God that we live our lives for. That's the God that we want to serve. He's not a God of chaos. He's a God of completeness and peace, shalom. And every time you see peace in there, you know that even when you see in the Brit Hadashah, because all of the writers were Jews in the New Testament. So you got to understand their thinking, even when they're writing, and if they're writing in Greek to Greek reading and speaking Gentiles, their thoughts are Jewish thoughts, Hebrew thinking. So every time you see the word of peace, you know what they are writing about, what they are thinking about, what's on their heart. It is shalom. Okay? Each time we see that. And then let's look at what Yeshua says in Yochanan in John 14, 27. Yeshua said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Shalom I leave with you, my shalom I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." See, because the world is chaotic. Even though God made everything good and in order, man turned it into something that was not God-like. And so, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Yeshua is saying, don't be afraid, don't be troubled. I bring you peace. I bring you the true shalom. This is what we have when we do accept Yeshua as our Messiah. It's interesting because to bring order at creation, the first thing God said was, "Let there be light." It's the first thing. You know, we read, and the Ruach hovered over the earth, and then the next verse says, and God said, "Let there be light." Why? Because when you're going to start this process of order, you need light. We read scriptures that said in the darkness, it talked about darkness, where we have chaos in our lives, incompleteness in our lives. It talks about the darkness. When we are in the darkness, we don't have the order, the true shalom that God would want us to have. So it's interesting, when we went all the way back to Genesis 1, we read about God creating and saying, "Let there be light." It was the first thing he said. Now, what Bob said was, it was the Word. It was him speaking. It was the Word that walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. And so we say, well, it was some manifestation of God. And then we know the angel of the Lord. And we see them connected together. And now we also know that in many of the Jewish writings by the rabbis, by the traditional rabbis, they would speak of the word, they gave the word Mamre. And Mamre was the word Word. And so when they would talk about the Word of God, they would talk about the Mamre. And they always attributed the word Mamre to be the Mashiach, the Messiah. You see, so when we read about and God spoke the word, well, even by the ancient writings in Judaism, what it was saying was, and the Mashiach, the word, the Mamre, created. So we know this in the Brit Hadashah, that it is affirmed by the disciples and the apostles, that it was, in fact, the Messiah that created everything at creation. It was that part of God, the Godhead, that was that part of God that created by speaking. And so, yes, it's interesting that to bring order at creation, the first thing the Mamre said was, "Let there be light," and that word created. But the light that God gave at creation, he said it was good. But if we look and see that Yeshua, and he has said it so many times, that I am the light of the world. We talked about this a few times during some of the holidays. I am the light of the world. Well, if the light that was created is good, very good, then the light of the world, the light of the Mamre, the light of Mashiach is gooder. Isn't that true? And that's what Yeshua said. So this is what God started, what the Memra started with God the Father and being obedient and allowing, and we see the three parts of God, the Father and the Ruach and the Mashiach, all at creation. And so what we see here is that he gives us, by sending the Messiah, the Mashiach, to us, when we accept him into our lives, not only do we have sins atoned for by that blood atonement that God set up even before Judaism existed, but we have complete shalom. We are in a better lightness. Maybe I could say even a better light, because that was a physical light that God brought to the world when it was void. But now we have more than a physical light. We have a spiritual light through the Messiah. And so Yeshua gives us complete shalom and complete perfect peace. This is what God has always wanted to do. When he set about taking a world of chaos, his final complete event would be where the world would be connected with the perfect peace, with the perfect order. And it would be through, yes, it would be through God, but it would be through God, the Father, and the Ruach, Abba, Ruach, and Mashiach. And so these are words for us to sort of meditate on them as we say shalom to 2018, and we're going to say shalom to 2019. So we hope that everyone has a great plan this week, whatever you do, however you want to celebrate it, whatever you want to do as you usher in the, bring, you know, take out the old and usher in the new. Let it be a safe time for all of you. Let it be a joyful time. We look forward to a wonderful year of 2019, expecting God to do something, expecting the unexpected. I heard somebody say that about a week ago. God does wonderful things, and let's expect the unexpected. The unexpected that only God could give us. And let's expect that coming next week. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Praise you, Lord.